of God's glory to arise in the earth. Wow. Jesus, I want to be a part of that. Today, my message, and well, we'll maybe get to it, is God's invitation. God's invitation. It's his invitation to himself. It's invitation to his favor. That he makes invitations to us all the time. Join me. Grab hold of me. Come with me. Jesus says to all the disciples, remember, come and see. Come and see. That even Philip is saying to Nathanael, Nathanael, you got to see this man from Nazareth. It's just amazing. And Nathanael's like, what good could come from Nazareth? Right? And Philip says, come and see. And you will see what good can come. And I was just so thankful for the invitations of the Lord to experience his glory and his goodness and his love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You are so good in this place. And I'm taking the time to explain this so that we are all on the same page, right? Amen. This is Trinity Fellowship Church. This is what we do. We engage in the presence of God. Doesn't mean we always have to come up forward. It's just different ways that we are showing our engagement, yeah. Right? And that when we come to engage with him, right? He puts on a new robe and puts a ring on our finger and puts sandals on our feet and celebrates us. Lord Jesus, thank you for being that kind of a God. And I thank you today. That's what you're still doing in the earth. You're still making invitations. And what's so beautiful is that he is making his invitation, and really this is the crux of my message. He is making these invitations often through us. People that have already tasted and seen his glory and his favor. I spoke last week about we are now ministers of reconciliation. Reconciliation means restoring to favor. That we are servants of helping people be restored to God's favor. That Jesus gave us this ministry of reconciliation. Just as he himself is the perfect reconciler of all. And he calls us to walk in this same place. So, I'm going to maybe get into some scripture here in a minute. I do need to say this. I'm excited about Cleansing Stream. We're offering just another tool to engage. It's an invitation. And I appreciate Cleansing Stream. It's a tool to help us walk in more and more freedom and more awareness of the Spirit working in our lives. And I like that we're doing it in the evenings. I know we do morning classes on Sundays, but this is another class. We're going to do this in the evening. In the evenings on Thursdays from 7 to 8, starts April 14th. So I encourage you, engage. Well, you know, I don't need any more freedom, or I don't need any deliverance. Do you need Jesus? Sorry. Do you need another touch? Or do you need to be a minister of reconciliation for someone else? This is a really good series that we talk through things. We'll watch videos. We'll talk through things. We'll pray together. It's just another way of engaging in what God wants us to do. And to step into maybe more and more freedom that God wants us to step into. I wanted to read just a couple testimonies. The power of prayer, worship, testimony, intercession, anointing, laying on of hands, compelling videos, and more made this time more than just an experience. It took me to another level of spiritual maturity. In other words, I got unstuck. I like that. If you want to get unstuck, this is a tool that God can use to get you unstuck. Cleansing Stream showed me the truth of God's word. Through the blood of Jesus, I found forgiveness, deliverance, freedom, and joy. I was able to recognize what was holding me back from giving God my best. Since going through Cleansing Stream, I have joy. I feel so much lighter. I have peace in my heart and in my mind, and the heaviness is gone. I was helped through the power of the Holy Spirit to see the lies and sins and chains that had bound me. I was led to repent, renounce, and break all the Lord had revealed to me, and I was set free. Well, that's exciting. That's worth it. And so I encourage you, if this appeals to you at all, it's great. It's a six-week series, and we do it for 6 weeks on Thursday nights, and then we finish up with a day of just more of the same with personal ministry. And I love the day of personal ministry because we'll teach something, and then you come up, and we do ministry. And it's after every session. And I love that part of this this paradigm of what Cleansing Stream is, and I'm just thankful to be a part of it. So if you want to, please join up. There's going to be books that we go through. I encourage you to buy a book, and they're $35. A couple can share them if you would like, and they're in the bookstore. So I did my job, okay? I did my job. I'm excited for what God has already done and just touching our hearts this morning. I'm going to edit this, okay? Just for your sakes. I will edit this. Mary Forsythe, she was funny. She's like, you know, you're giving me 3 hours, right? Yeah, that's... Yeah. I heard that laughter. But this morning, I wanted to talk about God's invitation, kind of jumping off of what we spoke on last week, and I was really hitting on God's asking us to be ministers of reconciliation. And so he doesn't just ask us to do something and not equip us to do it, right? And so he equips us with what? He equips us with himself. And we talked about how God dresses us. We are actually objects and recipients of favor first off. He favors us, and he wanted us reconciled with the Father. So he sent Jesus Christ to bear the penalty for our sin, and so that we would be made right with God, and we can come running boldly into the throne of grace. And we're then dressed in favor, which is an awesome understanding. And that we have been given this place now in Christ Jesus, but that we not only have and become favor, but then we invite others to join this favor with our lives. And there's three ways that believers are in Christ and how we are God's invitations, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. I don't know if you all have all been praying, and I hope you have just been continuing to pray over Ukraine and the war in Ukraine and all of those that have been affected. And I have just really been stirred about all of these that have been affected. Russians, Ukrainians, Polish, you know, Serbian, all around this area is just so dramatically affected. And I keep coming back to this. I feel like I have to share this morning. And it wasn't necessarily what I was, my main thing I was going to go into. But in Ezekiel, we see, so Israel was, you know, in Jerusalem, and they were walking away from God. They were going against the plans and purposes and the way God had intended for them to walk, and that they walked outside of God's favor. And God doesn't walk with those who are not walking with him and walking as he has prescribed us to walk. And so I don't walk that way. I don't walk in lies. I don't walk in terror. I don't walk in murder. God doesn't walk in that. And so Israel is, and Jerusalem is overcome, right? They're overthrown. The city is taken captive, and they kill many, and they take captives back to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar brings them. And so they plant them right near the river Kabar, and, you know, outside of Babylon. This is where they keep them, unless they wanted them to serve in certain ways, and they did make them serve. But there they are captive, and they are displaced from Jerusalem and from their promised land. And it says that in this place, Ezekiel says, Now, in about this year, the fifth day of the fourth month, I was by the river Kabar among the exiles, and the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. It says that he begins to see the heavens open up, and he sees the living creatures of God, and the four living creatures, and he is just overwhelmed, and he sees these creatures, and then he sees just these wheels and the Spirit of God working through these wheels. And he can barely explain all these things. And I can't read all of it. But he is undone. And he sees all of this picture. And then he looks up higher. He looks up higher. And he begins to see this incredible glowing expanse. And let me pick it up. He says, now above the expanse that he was seeing, over their heads, he says, I saw something resembling a throne like lapis lazuli in appearance, just shining bright. And all which resembled a throne, high up was a figure with the appearance of a man. A man on the throne. It says, then I noticed from the appearance of his loins and upward something glowing, like glowing metal that looked like fire all around it. And from appearance of his loins downward, I saw something with fire. And there was radiance all around him. As the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance of the likeness of what? The glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and I heard a voice speaking. The glory of the Lord began to shine and speak to him. I see Jesus. And it says, you know, he says, you're going to be speaking. I'm going to give you words and you're going to speak these words and you're going to speak them to Israel. You're going to speak them to the captives. And it says, moreover, he said to me, son of man, take into your heart all the words which I speak to you and listen closely. Go to the exiles, to the sons of your people, and speak to them and tell them whether they listen or not. Thus says the Lord God. Then the Spirit lifted me up and I heard a great rumbling sound behind me. Blessed be the glory of the Lord in his place. Wow. So he sees this incredible vision. He sees Jesus on the throne, glowing in glory. And then he says, now I want you to speak these words. And these are the beginning of the words that he tells him to speak. Blessed be the glory of the Lord in his place. That God is still on his throne. And that you have connection to this throne. That you have not stepped outside of God and his glory. And that as you come to Israel, call them back to this glory. They have stepped out. Call them back into this place. That God has not forsaken you. He is still for you. That don't you think all the captives were like, wow, we've done something wrong. And they did. Plenty wrong. But God just hates us, and there's no place to get back in him. And God sends Ezekiel to cry out to them and say, come back. Ezekiel was an invitation to the people to come back to God. And then you go through the book of Ezekiel. I don't know if you guys like the Old Testament or not. You go through the book of Ezekiel, and there are incredible visions that he keeps giving to the people, that the mountains that have been devastated and been depopulated, that there is fruitfulness on those mountains again, that the mountains will cry the glory of God, that there will be dead bones and they will come to life, and that the rising of the new army of God will come. This is what Ezekiel is saying. Why would he say all these things? Because God was making an invitation. Yeah. He's making an invitation. Come back to me. Come back to favor. And I believe, and I hear that in my heart so much, that there is, now there's certainly plenty of Ukrainians that are Christians. And God, we are calling out, Lord, to you belong escapes from death. But I am crying out for those that are not, that they don't judge God falsely, but they come to Him, and that there is visions for them yet to see of Jesus Christ, of Him being their Savior. And there are many who are coming to faith in Christ in this time. And God wants to use this time not to devastate, but to bring life, even to bring new life. And it just stirs my heart so much that we all be a part of this reconciling work in the earth. You know, you probably read 100,000 were coming to the United States. Maybe you read that somewhere. And I'm saying, okay, God, what's the purpose? Where are they going to connect? Lord God, let me be a part of what you want to do, to draw people to yourself. Lord, draw them to yourself. Draw them to who you are and your truth. That, Lord, we want to be these instruments of glory and favor. We want to be these invitations to come back to you. And so, as invitations, Lord Jesus, as you have called us as invitations of glory, that there are three ways that I see just this glory and this invitation that we make. And we are, first and foremost, we are displays of God's favor in the earth. That your life is a display, and it should be a display of God's favoring someone. That you are a tangible example of that favor. That's a beautiful thing. That when Jesus saves us, doesn't mean that all of our problems go away, but our problems really don't matter so much anymore, because all of the truth of Christ now has been revealed, given to us, and that we get to live in the reality of being a son of God, a son and a daughter of God. And that we become this display. And that Jesus, when he went into Nazareth and he read from Isaiah 61, he said, you know, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And he sits down and he says, today that scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And that he is calling, that Jesus was making the invitation to Nazareth. Okay. This is what God is calling you, to come back into favor. And that this scripture goes, he goes on in this, in Isaiah 61. And then in 62, let me get here. Isaiah 61, and he keeps going on. What happens to those whom God comes and he saves and he redeems and he binds up and he brings freedom. Getting here. So he goes on to say, down all the way down into verse 10, he says, and this is Isaiah saying this. Now we know that Jesus pulled from this later. But this is Isaiah, and Isaiah says, and I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. Right? And we looked at that last week and say, salvation is from Yeshua, the word Yeshua. He clothed me in Jesus. He's wrapped me with a robe of righteousness as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. That God has dressed us this way. But let's jump back to verse 9. And he says, and this is what's going to happen in this year of favor. Okay, you're going to be dressed in all these things. Their offspring will be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them will recognize, because they are the offspring of whom the Lord has blessed. Amen. Wow! That there is a recognition of the favor of God on the sons and daughters of God. That's exciting. I am thankful, God, that you treat us with kindness, with the kindness of your good intentions for us, and that we walk in this place of favor. That we are these places of favor in other people's lives, and it stirs up others. You know, is there probably some people in your life that just stir you up to love Jesus more? Amen. That stir you up, wow, I want to know more about Jesus, or I want to know more about that, or boy, I'd love to be a part of that that God is doing. Don't you have people like that? I married one. And that's the right characteristic for you to marry. You marry someone that's in pursuit of God. You marry someone who loves God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Wow. You marry someone who pursues you, who makes you want to pursue God more. And you will pursue each other. That's just going to happen as you pursue the Lord together. I have people in my lives I'm so thankful for. I'm thankful for Pastor Kahari Diane. I'm thankful for this house that you stir my heart to love God more. You know, when you guys come up forward, and it's not about me. This is really, truly. I mean, if you don't want to come up forward, that's fine. But it's actually not fine. I want you to experience God. let me go totally honest here. But I'm trying to say, it's not about, oh, I feel bad. It's not about me. It's about Jesus and encountering him, right? And when you guys come forward, it stirs my heart to believe more. That's just you stepping forward. You haven't said anything. You haven't done anything. You just make movement towards Jesus, and that helps me. I want to say this helps others. When they see you do this same thing in your life, they see you move towards Jesus, that helps them. More profoundly than you think sometimes. But we need to continue to make those movements towards Christ in our lives and not be afraid of it. I'm so thankful for parents, and I know a lot of people don't have parents like this. My mom played organ for next to about 50 years in church. She played and she worshiped the Lord with her gift. And I would see her week after week after week worshiping the Lord. I spoke at her memorial that she was a perfect reflection of the great is thy faithfulness. She saw the faithfulness of God so much, and she was enamored by the faithfulness of God so much that it reflected in her own life. And that she invited me to join her in that adoration of a faithful God because of her life. One of the last memories that I have of my dad, I had a few others, but one of the last ones was him at the kitchen sink. My dad was a singer. He loved to sing. He sung all kinds of hymns and things. And I don't know if he loved to do the dishes, but he did the dishes. He did the dishes a lot. Well, he wouldn't cook at all. And so I kind of inherited that. Bless my children. Can cook on the grill maybe a little bit. But my dad would clean, and he would do the dishes. And he was standing at the sink, and all of a sudden I hear, and he's just going away. I'm like, wow. I don't know if you know that song. Okay. And then he gets to that point. I'm like, I wonder where this is going. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. I'm so thankful that I have that memory of my dad. That was my dad. What happened to me, but that happened to me so many times in his life that I saw him singing and connecting with the Father, connecting with what Jesus has done, and it would undo me. And it drew me not only to my dad, but it drew me to God. It drew me closer to Christ. I talked about you guys singing last week. We sing over those around us, that we sing the blessings of God and the favor of God. That when people know that you are connected, it will either do one of two things. It's either going to drive them away, you are a freak, you're a kook, or it's going to draw them too. And in fact, a lot of times when people are repelled, they are actually still curious. Have you experienced this? I'll talk to people, hey, can I pray for you? And it's funny, like if there's a couple of them, can I pray for you? And like, no, uh-uh. And then, I'll say to the other one, can I pray for you? See, you hurt yourself. Or that. I'll pray for them. And then the other one will just stand there. They don't walk away. And you finish and they'll be like, oh, can you pray for me? Because all of us have been created in the image of God. And we all have that place in us that can only be filled by Him. And so there is an invitation that God is always making to people to come back into that place with Him, and that we are the instruments of the invitation, that we get to be a part of that place. And that's a beautiful place, isn't it? I'm thanking God that He puts us in that place. He's equipped us with that place by His Spirit. The second thing, that you are the face of God's favor, that God has given us everything that we need. Well, what is everything that we need? And if you go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and this is the passage that we looked at last week, as ministers of reconciliation. And he says, you are a new creation in Christ. You are a new creature in Christ. Old things passed away. Behold, new things come. This is verse 18. Now all things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. He is the one who truly reconciled us. We have this place that we are reconciled, and he gave to us now the ministry of reconciliation, the service of it. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. For he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And what's amazing, this word committed means he has put it in you. He has established in you restoring favor. He's put it in you. Okay, now let's go back to chapter 4 of this same book, 2 Corinthians 4. He said, wait, what did he put in us? And God who said, light shall shine out of darkness. This is verse 6. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Whoa! The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Who wants that? That's amazing. And where is it? Where is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God? Right here. It's right here. The smiling face of Jesus is right here in my heart. Do people see that? That I want people to encounter this shining light. Therefore, God spoke, let there be light. Wow, that is good. So now I am a carrier and a bearer. I bear this light. And Lord, let that be this saying that I have in my mind. Lord, let there be light. Let there be the light of Christ. Right now, let the light of Christ shine. Let people see you right now in this place. Let them see you through me right now, oh God. Make the invitation, Jesus. That the knowledge of the glory of God is in this face of Christ on the inside of us. I like this definition of God's favor. Tangible evidence that a person has the approval of the Lord, not based on circumstance. Didn't Paul have Paul had the favor of the Lord. He says, but we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus. Not just the depression and the sad fact of the dying of Jesus. It's what Jesus has accomplished for us by his death for each one of us. So we carry around in us the dying of Jesus. Why? So that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. Wow. He's bringing it right down here, right? He's like, you have the face of Christ, and now you manifest the glory of God in this body, in this vessel. How does he do that? Well, thank God, he even tells us later on, earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but the manifestation we've given, I mentioned that, for the common good. He's given us all kinds of giftings, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, discernment, workings of miracles and healings and faith, tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, that he has given us manifestations of his own spirit, of himself, that would come forth and that people would be, oh, that's not human. That's something else. And that God has asked us to step into those places by the Spirit, that we move into these manifestations, that God would invite people. Oh, go ahead, grab hold. I want that. That people would come in and hear their hearts laid bare, he says, and they would fall on their face and say, surely the Lord is in this place. Peter. Jesus, the perfect reconciler. Jesus stepped into Peter's boat that Peter would one day step out of his. In faith, believing. That Jesus is asking us to step in like he did, like in the midst of life. Step into each other, people's lives, and draw them to connect with him. And that's what Ezekiel was doing. I want you to come back to the Lord. What is the face of favor? And this face of favor, I feel, was, we can see it clearly just in ongoing connection to Jesus and his light, ongoing expectation of good, Pastor Diane said this, ongoing place of walking in approval, that we are children that display just this ongoing connection with God, and that when people see this ongoing connection, it just draws them to continue to want to grab hold of more and more of him. I'm so thankful. My wife Valerie went to Denmark last 3 weeks, and they went to a lot of different meetings, and they were praying for people, and they offer prayers for healing and bringing healing. And one boy came up to Valerie, and I think he was either 10 or 11, she said. And he had hurt his ankle playing soccer. And he was like, yeah, my ankle really hurts, and it's cracking whenever I move it. And there's a lot of pain in it. And he was barely hobbling up there. And as Valerie was about to pray, he's like, oh, and I'm colorblind. and he said, and it's genes, something in the genes. I can't see certain colors and things. And so I'm colorblind. And Valerie goes, okay. Well, Jesus is a healer of all things, genes and all. And so we're going to pray for your foot. I mean, we're going to pray for your ankle. And so they pray for their ankle. And then he's trying his ankle. And wow, no more cracking and no more pain, you know. He's like, whoo, wow, that's great. And Valerie's like, oh, awesome. Well, that's so good. And, you know, Jesus doesn't just stop there. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He healed blind eyes before. He's still in the business of healing blind eyes. He wants you to see color. And so I'm going to pray over that right now. And so, Jesus, we thank you. Thank you that you bring your healing. And she said, okay, look around. And he starts looking around. He's like, well, I don't know what that is. You know, it could be pink or purple, but I've never seen it before, and it's right over there. And it was something, some kind of purple-ish type thing. And so he just began to see these colors. And, right, and he's just like, he's shocked. Like, wow, look what I'm looking at. And I love Valerie's just matter of fact, this is what Jesus says, this is what Jesus does, and this is what we do. And she just invites you in and let's just see him move. And it's all about Jesus. And she would say all the time, it's not about me, it's all about Jesus. We just bring people to Jesus, and that's what he does. Amen. And he manifests himself, and he moves in lives. And I'm so thankful for this expectation of good that we get to have, that God has asked me to carry this expectation of good. Pastor Diane was saying this morning. I love this verse. And it's, in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. At daybreak, I lay my plea before you and wait in expectation. In the morning, I order my prayers to you and I eagerly wait. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because, why? Because if we want to please God, we need to know that he is good, and he is a rewarder of those who seek him. That he is a good God and he loves to reward people. He loves to give himself to those who are inclined to believe the best, that he is a good God, that he wants to meet us in our place of need, and that I come with expectation. And that's what Jesus would even say. When you pray, believe. When you pray, have a good expectation. Have a good expectation, because there's plenty. This world is filled with horrible expectation. Expectation of nuclear war. God, give us a greater expectation. Yes. Yes. Lord, we have greater expectation in you. Lord, and we want to be people that carry greater expectation. David carrying the ark into the city, and he's just joyful because I just have great expectation of God's presence being in this city. That we are the face of God's favor and we are the voice of God's favor. That's the third one. That we are called statesmen, ambassadors. He says, "And therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." That we become these ambassadors, that we become these trusted spokesman, that God is making an appeal. Wait, who is he making the appeal through? What does it say here in verse 20? It says he is making the appeal through us. Couldn't God, okay, we know God can split the heavens open and the angels can sing, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace towards men. He could actually put in them the message of salvation in the heavenlies and declare it. But he's chosen us to be these ministers, these ambassadors. And in fact, the word for appeal is personal, up close. And it's to the point of begging. Now, we're not just begging people to come to bed, but there is this passion and this earnestness that we have to bring people back into right connection with God. Amen. That Jesus says so many beautiful things, and I think, and this morning, this is my prayer that we commit again to saying, Jesus said, even if I had to boil it down into just that, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live though he die. Amen. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. What a beautiful statement. I've dealt with so much death in my life. In my own family, not so much, but I mean a lot to me. These words of Jesus help me every single time. It's the truth of Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. I was called one time. I'll just finish with this. I was called one time. I was pastoring another place. And a wife said, Jim, you got to come now. My husband has a gun to his head. It's like, oh, Jesus. He's a friend. And so I was nervous because it was like a 20-minute drive. And I got in my car, and I just crying out to Jesus all the way. Oh, God, just protect him. Keep him from making any kind of mistake right now. Don't let him give in to the enemy's plan and assignment over him right now. I pray, Jesus, I'm praying the whole way up there. And I get to the house, and the wife comes out, and she's like, he's up in the scaffolding. They were doing work on their house, and they had scaffolding all around his house, and he had climbed up all the way to the top of the scaffolding and was sitting there. Thankfully, I'm not afraid of heights, so climbed up that scaffolding, and I sat down next to him. And I mean, all the while, I'm thinking, Jesus, help me. I didn't see the gun at that point, but I wasn't about to ask, necessarily. And I just began to talk about Jesus. I didn't even know what I was saying. I just began to talk about Jesus. And I began to talk about how much he loved me. And how much he had broken into my life and brought healing. And I made this, and I said this to him. You know, Jesus says to me, and I believe he says to you, my peace I give to you. I could have picked 1,000 different things that Jesus said. That's what the Spirit led me to say, and I said, Jesus says, my peace I give to you. He began to lower his head. And I felt Jesus just really touching his heart. He said later, he actually gave testimony in church about the whole thing. And he said, Jesus came and he restored hope. He's like, I didn't do any of it. I didn't think anything. I didn't convince him of anything. All I did was say, Jesus. Jesus says. And Jesus came. I'm so thankful I got to be a part of that. That scary moment. And I hear this in the heart of Christ, is that he delights when we say, Jesus said. And the world needs to hear, Jesus said. Yeah. Yeah. I know, this is just so simple, Jim. But it's got to be easy. And we just got to do it. I'm committing myself again. Jesus, in every conversation, Lord, you order my lips. Lord, let me be freely saying, and Jesus said, let it come out of me. If you don't know what Jesus said, just keep staying in the Gospels. Just keep reading through the Gospels. Jesus said, get your red letter edition. Jesus said, because not only does the world need to hear it, you need to hear it.
Yeah.
I need to hear it. I need to hear it every day. I need to hear myself saying, Jesus said. And Jesus said. And Jesus said, it was the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Jesus said, I don't even call you servants, I call you friends. Jesus said, truly you are a son of Abraham, says to Zacchaeus, restoring his identity. Jesus says, Lord, I'm asking that for every single one of us. Lord, I thank you for these sons and daughters of righteousness. I thank you for ministers of reconciliation. I thank you, God, that you created us to speak. We believe, therefore we speak. And so, Lord, I thank you today that you give us your own words and you allow us to be the invitations to come and experience God's favor and his love. I'm going to ask you to just stand this morning. I'm going to say this, and maybe it sounds weird. I'm sure I'm weird. It's okay. I'm a peculiar person, a person of God's own position. That I hear this scripture, God speaks and he says, open your mouth and I will fill it. Yes. And so, if you are willing, go ahead and just open your mouth. So I open my mouth, but I have to talk, okay? So I'm opening my mouth and I'm trying to talk. So we open our mouth this morning. You are the filler, and we already experienced that this morning in this place. We thank you for filling us, God. Yeah. We thank you that you don't stop, though, and that you continue to fill. And so we open our mouths. You see the open mouths here, Lord God. You see the mouths that you are ready to use and fill with your words. Yeah. I thank you, Lord, that the earth is so in need of these words. The earth needs these words. That the glory of the Lord would fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. That the glory of the Lord would spill forth from the innermost being. That the light that shines from our hearts, that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth is speaking. Lord God, we thank you that you have filled us in the innermost being and it flows forth from us. And Father, I speak, I say over these mouths, Lord, they be instruments. They be instruments of God's invitation. And that when we speak, Jesus says that all the earth is groaning and waiting for what Jesus says, for it to be manifest in the earth and in the lives of those that we touch. And so, Jesus, I thank you for these mouths. I commit them to you, O God. They are dedicated for your glory. Lord, I thank you that sweet water flows from these mouths. The sweet water of your Spirit flows, Lord Jesus, because it is